Ben Lawrence. Okay, I'm sure that we have a lot of stuff to talk about today,
You're not
but
playing a game
there's
again,
some.
are you?
No. There's something that I want to bring up before we talk about anything else.
Right, what's that?
Now, everyone who listens to this podcast probably also follows me on Twitter. But
Maybe.
in case that is not the truth,
Wouldn't say that's a given.
I'm gonna cover something that I talked about a little bit there.
Ah.
And it goes a little something like "You Be Illin" by Run DMC.
Okay.
Now, I am, I'm not old necessarily, but I am what we would call middle-aged or past middle-aged, depending on how things are going.
Middle age always seems to be one of these things that just keeps getting older the older we get. I would not
Right,
consider
but
myself middle age, but
see,
when I was
I
in
don't know
my
if that's.
20s, I would.
I don't know if that's true. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
As a concept, not
Like,
as like
it's a moving
it
target.
is a moving target.
But I would say that, depending on how things go, like I said, we might be middle-aged now. Like, we may not live to our 80s, you and I.
Okay.
Depending,
Well, not with that attitude.
on how things. Thank you. Yes. But so rap, right? There are some people alive now who have been alive. Rap has always been a musical form for them. Like, since they. But I remember it sort of becoming in vogue, like I hadn't heard it before, and it showing up and it being this new musical style.
When was
And
Rapper's Delight? Because that's considered to be, quote, the first rap song.
Yes,
Is
that
rap?
I do not know.
That's like the
And
late
as you know,
'70s, though, isn't it?
we keep it wrong here. I think it was the late 70s, but it might have been the 80s. Here's the thing, though. Run DMC was the 80s. It is when I remember rap. Run DMC was rap as far as I was concerned at the time. And they had a song called "You Be Illin." I must have been, I was older than seven at the time. I was maybe even, a tween, even though that term didn't exist at the time. But so I was familiar with "You Be Illin." I had heard it, and I have heard it several times. And it is just now, at age 43, that I've realized that I missed a major conceit of the song. It opens up. There's a guy, right? And it is established well in advance that he is at Kentucky Fried Chicken. That is where he is. That is what he is doing, is eating at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
The term finger licking is used. It's finger licking good is something that they say about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
And there is also a point where he asks someone, "Hey, is this Kentucky Fried?" And they say yes, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the line, and I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it's something like this. And the thing I'm going to get wrong is the size of the fries.
Okay.
She smiled at him. He smiled back. He gave his quarter and his order, large fries, Big Mac. Might be small fries, Big Mac.
Okay.
And at the time, and since then, I always thought to myself, oh, yeah, this guy, he doesn't know how much those fries and that Big Mac cost. Today, I'm listening to the Carolina Chocolate Drops doing their version of "You Be Illin."
Okay.
And I realize, oh, wait, he's at a Kentucky Fried Chicken. They don't
They don't
serve
serve Big Macs.
Big Macs there. That man is definitely illin. And then I realized I had gone so long without noticing this flaw in his thing that perhaps, Ben, it is I who is actually Illyn.
Now, remind me of the line again before he gives his quarter and his order. Is it something to the effect of where he sees...
He smiled at her, she smiled back, or she smiled at him, he smiled back. One of the two.
I think it's one of those things. Now, I haven't heard this song in a long time, and if I have heard it at all. I'm sure I've heard it at some point in my life. Yes. But I don't remember the specific part nor any part of the song. But what you're telling me and what I kind of glean from Run DMC sort of MO is that he be Illyn because she was so fly, he made him forget where he was.
Oh, well, no, but there's also a thing about how he doesn't walk straight, kind of side to side. See, I think he's drunk. There's another verse where somebody was Illyn because they tried to pick up a lady and it didn't work.
Now what
that is for sure.
In terms of late 70s or early 80s rap pop, what does Illyn translate to?
Well, Ben, see, this is where we have to use context clues, right? Because Illyn, in this context, in my opinion, is doing badly at something or at life, basically. You know, the whole you had one job thing, right?
Right.
Sort of like that. If you're Illyn, you are not doing well. You're performing badly at something.
It's directly related to the root ill in the word.
Yes. Now, one of the things I know, in this is the case, he's ordering the wrong thing for the franchise he's in. And he is therefore Illyn.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is about someone who yells touchdown when someone scores a basket in basketball.
Is that a line in the song as well?
Yes, it's somewhere else in the song that's there. And then, of course, a man who strikes out when trying to hit on a lady. So I would not say that Illyn is one thing. It's several different states of wrongness, basically.
Right.
Which makes me wonder, Beastie Boys, License to Ill, Time to Get Ill, right?
Right.
I think at that point in time,
ill communication.
Ill became a cool thing. Oh man, that's ill.
Like that's sick.
Like that eventually became good.
Yeah.
And I know that we're doing the worst thing possible. As we've stated before, two white guys talking about what ill, but hey, what else are you going to do in this day and age, Ben? And anyway,
you got to keep from breaking down in tears.
Yes, that goes to show us. All right. Second topic, Lucy and the football. Right.
Yes.
In my Twitter feed, I'm sure probably in your Facebook feed, there are people who are rejoicing. They're like, this is it. Donald Trump finally going down. And I'm like, don't think it yet.
It's something we've heard. I saw a post on a link to, I think it was Politico or The Hill or some sort of left-leaning site where the headline basically all it said was revelations today are going to take Donald Trump down for good. And I'm like, this has just become a hyperbole at this point. Yeah. And it's clickbait.
Might it take down members of his cabinet? Maybe so. That is possible. I'm not saying that it won't. But, I don't know, the way things have been going, he'll just shuck them off.
I think what it was referring to was the fact that Paul Manafort has been in collusion with the Russians. He was actually, something to the effect of, he was working with a Russian operative to make, for pro-Putin business deals. Like, in the last 10 years, like 10 years ago, you know.
But, you know, I mean, just if it sticks the way it normally is, Trump will be like, I hardly even know the guy.
Yeah, well, they've already been playing down Manafort's involvement in the campaign, even though he was Trump's campaign advisor for like 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's happening. Now, also something that was talked about on Twitter a little bit, but I'll bring up now.
The NASA
I
thing?
I do not archive the show. I do not talk about. I mean, I don't really listen to it, but someone who goes through these shows will be able to discover that I, at one point in time, said mission to Mars, something Trump is going to want to do.
I wonder if they're also, allow me to be a jerk here, but I wonder if they're also marking down all the times you're self-congratulatory about when you get something right.
I don't think, well, they might be, yeah. But here's the other thing. Are they also marking down every time I've said something will happen and I'm wrong? Because that's the thing. The secret to predicting the future is to be wrong a lot, but only bring up the times that you were right.
Right. So, yeah, I saw that thing. I don't listen to the show either, and I barely even remember it after we record it. But I did see something. I did see Elon Musk say that the Mars budget in Trump's proposal is not going to get Americans to Mars. He was unimpressed. I am not going to read the budget.
Elon Musk said that won't get Americans to Mars. I will. And then he ripped off his shirt and downloaded himself into the Matrix. I'm kidding. It's great. I really do like the idea that business people want to do this stuff. It's good. Here's the thing. Any funding for NASA is crazy and, you know, sort of cool. Hey, I know we're all whistling in the darkness here, but I did not expect that to happen.
No.
However, you know, I'm reminded again of the whole Whitey on the Moon thing. There's a lot of stuff that could be done with all that money, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
Arts funding. Did you see the Elmo gets fired thing?
I did not.
Well, it was cute and it was well done, but it made me realize. Now, you remember when I was mad at HBO, right? Because they fired Gordon or whatever.
Yeah.
And later they said it was a misunderstanding.
They downsized the cast.
That they were welcome to be on it whenever they wanted to, all that kind of stuff. But here's the big thing. In light of all this stuff, I realize HBO may be a little forward-thinking.
Yeah.
Because
Trump can't take away HBO's funding.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing about HBO, you know, that I really didn't think about. You know, they've been saying bad words and showing naked bits and all that kind of stuff for a long time, and it's because they're not beholden to anybody.
Right.
They're not beholden to advertisers. They're not beholden to... You know, it's just
they
who
are
buys their stuff.
Still somewhat beholden to FCC regulations, so there's a limit to what they can and cannot do. And also, they are beholden to their public. So if you have... If you have the Muppets, who I don't even know if they, I have not seen them on HBO at all, but if they start swearing or showing Muppet boobies, then you're probably going to have some parents writing in and canceling their HBO subscriptions.
Oh, but that's the thing also is that it's been run pretty smart, I think. Smartly,
Muppets After Dark.
No, but they have done Muppet versions of HBO shows. I remember that.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Like,
Muppet,
I want to say...
The Wire.
What's that, Jennifer?
I was going to ask you what pen you used to write on that envelope. It's the color I need.
It was a highlighter. Sorry, we're having a pen color discussion. It was a blue highlighter, Jennifer. I don't know what I did with it. Oh, no, it's sitting on Betty's desk. Okay, so...
Oh, I lost one of my pens the other day, too. I can't find it. I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, really? Where were you?
I took it out of my bag. It's the pen I keep in my bag to write in my my notebook. And I took it out because I had a meeting on Sunday. And then I put it in my shirt pocket, but I didn't put it back in my bag. But now I don't know where it went. It's probably in my laundry, to be honest. But it's not in my bag.
That's not good. I mean, you know, a pen goes to the laundry, there's a chance something bad will happen.
Yeah, there's a really good chance. I don't want that to happen.
Ben with blue clothes. Well, Ben, are you wearing an item that's blue right now?
My blue jeans. My blue jeans are blue.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is going on these days, Ben? Anything interesting in the news that you want to talk about?
See, what is interesting in the news that I want to talk about? Well, you know, baseball is getting going. I watched the final game of the World Baseball Classic, Puerto Rico versus U.S.
How'd that go?
I'll qualify it by saying I watched most of it. I turned it off once it got to 7-0 U.S. I felt I didn't need to watch it anymore.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah. Also, I just wanted to go to bed.
Well, that's how I am whenever I watch baseball. But anyway,
hey,
it's boring art form.
So
I'm kidding. Baseball's great. Don't get mad at me.
Every single one of our listener is going to write in and complain.
Well, you know, I will take anybody on, Ben.
Bring it.
I don't care anymore. I'm mad. I'm mad all day.
And I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, exactly, Ben. Mad as heck, even.
There's a Twitter that I follow. It's at Dog Rates. It's We Rate Dogs.
And, oh, yeah. They're good dogs, Brent.
Yeah, they're good dogs, Brent. I think I heard that this is run by like a 20-year-old college kid, but it's really fun. I really like it. If you all of our listeners out there, if you want to have a good chuckle, this guy posts at least once a day. And as we record this, today is National Puppy Day.
Hey,
I wish I had a puppy to celebrate.
I have to say, as you know, I've had bad luck with dogs, Ben. Dogs occasionally bite me. They do stuff.
Well, you're so tasty.
But there is a dog. Hey, Jennifer.
What?
What is the name of the Reed Elliott's dog?
Bella.
There's a dog named Bella who I met out here who's great.
Oh, yeah?
She's so nice. She will walk up to you and put her paw on you as if to say, pet me, human.
As if to say, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm happy for it. I'm very good natured when it comes to her, as far as dogs go.
Yeah, you know, they can sense fear. Dogs can. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you don't emit a fear hormone around dogs, you'll be okay. I heard that if you want a dog to run towards you, just start running away from it, and it will instinctively chase you. So, like, if you're looking for a dog, if your dog ran away, or if you're looking for someone else's dog and you see it, don't run towards it. Run away from it.
Run away from it.
And it'll follow you.
And it'll chase you.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. That's great news.
Little,
did you hear that, everybody?
Little life pro
tip. Also, if you're afraid of a dog, no help. No help is going to come to you. Because
If you're afraid of the dog, just stand your ground, maintain eye contact, make yourself as big as possible, make loud noises, and...
I'm of the opinion that if you see a dog and you're scared, don't look at it, shuffle away slowly, and maybe he'll leave you alone.
I saw this video recently where this police officer was called to a neighborhood where there were two bad dogs. They were one was a pit bull, I believe. One was, I think, I can't remember whatever with the breed, the other kind of.
We should point out to our listeners, we're not saying they were two bad dogs. One was a pit bull. That makes the pit bull a bad dog. just being a pit bull. It's not that. There are two bad dogs.
I'm sure there are nice pit bulls out there. I've just never met anyone. Anyway, so these dogs were being aggressive.
I know some people who have pit bulls, and the pit bulls are very nice.
These dogs were being... I'm still not going to like them. That's okay. These dogs were being aggressive. They were barking.
Their heads
were
so huge, Ben.
Running around this neighborhood. I'm not gonna fall into that. I'm not going to like them. I don't know. I have to like them. I don't have to...
Yeah, but the
think
head
they're
size,
cute.
Ben.
I don't think they're cute.
How big their heads are.
And the bigger the bite you with, actually. Anyway, this cop
was trying. Yeah, their jaws are also really huge.
This cop was trying to corral these dogs because he had to wait for animal control to show up. And he kept telling... So they were walking around him. They were barking. He had to tell people in this neighborhood to get back into their house because the dogs were being mean and aggressive. And he had a stick, and one of the dogs kept biting the stick, and it was just like a protective measure. At one point, he sprayed pepper spray around one of the dogs because it got a little bit too close to him. But after that, and then the dog like ran away and started rolling in the dirt to get the pepper spray out of its nose. But the brilliant thing, what he did, he opened up the back door of his squad car, and he kept saying to the dog, "You want to go for a ride? You want to go for a ride? Load up. Let's go for a ride. Load up." And the dogs looked so confused because that's probably what the dog's owner said to them when he was trying to get the dogs into their car. Load up.
Yeah.
Let's go for a ride. So the dogs eventually just like stopped barking at him and kind of hesitantly walked towards the car, and they both got in. This cop closed the door, and he's wearing a body cam, which is how you can see all this stuff. And once he closes the door, he's like, "How you like me now?"
Nice. That's good. That's smart.
Yeah. So
now, see, we rate dogs wouldn't rate those dogs. They rate good dogs.
12 out of 10 would pet again.
Oh, hey, you know, the other thing, I think I've mentioned this before. There's a guy, his name's Ian. He was on the OA. Can't remember his last name.
Haven't watched it.
Okay, well,
Ian
is the actor's name, yeah. Buck is the character's name. And so Ian, who plays Buck from the OA, loves dogs. And you know who else who loves dogs? Vincent D'Onofrio loves dogs.
Dogs
and
trucks.
We rate dogs, Vincent D'Onofrio and Ian, to get a TV show where it's just Ian and Vincent D'Onofrio looking at other people's dogs and freaking out about it. It would be great.
So when you started talking about how much Vincent D'Onofrio likes trucks, I started following him on Twitter.
Yes.
And about 2 weeks ago, I unfollowed him.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you why.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you why.
Yes.
He's a good social media persona in that he will reply to everybody.
Yep.
Which meant my entire feed was Vincent D'Onofrio just replying to his fans.
You do that too. You have to follow more people, Ben. That's all.
No, I follow about 250 people, and I think, you know, that's enough. And it just got to the point to where it's like I'm done.
I understand.
I'm D'Onofrio'd out.
See, for me, I love it when he interacts with anybody. I just love watching it. He gets it. Like, people have tried to troll him. It doesn't work. It doesn't. You can't do it. He's like, because if you fool him and he like thinks you're being serious, it doesn't matter. He's got a block basically in his head against being embarrassed about being fooled by someone. It won't faze him. He'll be like, well, you know, that's not a very nice thing to do. Maybe you should think about, you know. And whereas other people eventually get mad and like delete their accounts or whatever, he doesn't do it. It's great. And also, I just skim through it sometimes when it's a huge block of his.
Yeah, I got tired of skimming through it. I just figured
because
it was easier
the thing, is
to
that
not follow
not
anymore.
Meant he. I think he made a conscious choice. Is this? Do I want everyone to read this, or am I? Or do I want to answer everybody? He wants to answer everybody. He doesn't care what it looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On his feet. So that's him. That's
it's
his.
It's a lot of work. I mean, I commend him for paying attention. Not a lot of people pay attention or will reply or engage in that manner, but
yeah,
it was just got to be too much.
I've done something similar. I have turned off retweets for everybody that I follow.
Yeah.
So I don't see retweets anymore. But what I do see is if you, like, say, Ben, because I follow you.
Right.
And some other guy who I don't know that well both like something, it'll show up in my feed sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
I don't.
But the weirdest thing that's happened now is that I follow Griffin Newman, Griff Lightning, who is playing Arthur in the Amazon.com Tick series.
Okay.
And here's something that's great about that, is that I followed him way, way back when I had my older account.
Yeah.
And so, and I've seen him, you know, like, get this part after trying to do a whole bunch of other stuff and, like, being somewhat disappointed with the results. Him being disappointed with the results. I don't mean me. I'm not like Groof. Oh,
but
oh,
you watched him you watched him through the phases of being a struggling actor.
Yeah, and I watched him get this big thing. And the it felt like, not like I got it necessarily, but one of the good guys got it. You know, I felt like, hey,
right,
all right. You know, it was really cool. There was a thing that I was going to bring up about that. Oh, yeah, I remember. So he swears at Donald Trump every day from his Twitter account. And for some reason, it shows up. I don't follow Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
But it just says, in reply to Donald Trump. I don't get it. I really don't get why it happened. The only thing I can think of is that because he's Arthur on the Tick now, he was able to get verified. Maybe it's that whenever a celebrity that you follow, like, tweets to another celebrity or whatever.
No, because
it shows up.
I've seen that on Twitter before, where a friend of mine who's not verified will reply to a Twitter that I don't follow, but I see that original tweet in my timeline. I don't see it in the timeline. I see, like, my friend's reply, and I got to go through and see, well, if I want to find out what they're talking about, I got to click on this thing.
Yeah,
but so, yeah, replies are different than retweets, I guess, in terms of turning them on and off.
Yeah, I guess so. But normally, it's weird.
I do have a person I follow on Twitter who I guess he thinks pretty highly of himself, and has a fake verification symbol next to his name, something that he created. It's a V with a circle around it. And I'm not going to say who it is. No, I'm not going to say who it is.
Is it
but
someone that I know?
I have no idea. But every time I see him in my timeline, it just looks like he's describing himself as vegan.
Because
that's how they mark vegan on some menus, is a V with a circle around it. Now verification symbol is like this blue check mark.
Is it possible that this person is doing that because they're vegan for real?
I don't think so.
Is it a joke? I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Is it a joke, maybe? Like, they're...
No, I think...
Julian Assange, isn't it?
It's it's not a... I don't think it's a joke.
No, did you see,
that
Julian Assange was upset because Twitter wouldn't verify him?
Oh, no, I did not. I did not see that.
Yeah.
But and I'm with you. I would have given, if I didn't know any better, I would have given this person the benefit of the doubt. But because I have context, I know that, you know, this person is like, well, I'm an influential, important person, so I need to be verified.
Yeah. Ben, I said the name Julian Assange. I think that means he shows up in here.
Hello. Did you say it three times?
No, I didn't. I only said it twice. So maybe we're fine. But if you are listening to this and you're that guy, I don't think Ben and I have any real animosity towards you. We were just mentioning you because you're famous And there was a verification issue that happened, and that's why we mentioned it. I mentioned it. Ben, leave Ben alone. It's me you want. And also, I'm fine with everything that is going on. It is interesting, Ben, that a lot of, you know, leaks and hacking, quote unquote, is all social engineering stuff, really. You know, someone hacked somebody's email, quote unquote, right? But really what it was is that the email account was taken over by someone else and they never changed the password. So this person had the access to it. That's not really hacking.
Well,
I mean, I guess it sort of is, but...
Well, that's what they're saying all this hacking is it's not, you know, you're not bypassing encryption. You're basically guessing somebody's password.
Yeah.
Like 70, 80%, I'm making these numbers up, of the amount of, quote, hacks that we hear about on the news is basically that.
Well, I mean, and that is, I suppose, part of the hacker's toolkit. It's just like how... What was it? There are pillars of hip hop. It's street art and rapping and breakdancing, I think, were the three at one point in time. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure.
The pillars of hip hop.
Yeah. At one point in time, I believe. Music, breakdancing, and street art. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I might just be thinking of the movie Breakers.
I haven't seen Breakers. Is that like Breakin'?
I don't, okay, so it may be Breakin'. I may be thinking of Breakin', but I think it's the Breakers or Breakers. All right, Ben, I'm going to describe a scene from a movie, right?
Okay.
And you tell me, because there is a song, We Are the Breakers, in this movie. I'm almost 100% positive.
All right.
There's a guy, and he's a graffiti artist, right? And there's another guy who spray paints the word spit over the guy's graffiti. And the guy chases the guy. The guy who did the graffiti chases the guy who tagged the graffiti.
Yeah.
And then chases him onto the third rail and then dies.
Oh, geez. That scene just got real.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a funeral, and there's a video collage of the guy, and I think the song We Are the Breakers shows up there. I don't remember what it is or who does it.
I'll
it
be
might
honest,
just be Breakin'.
I've seen either Breakin' or I've seen Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
See, and this is why I'm thinking it might be Breakin'.
Which one it was.
Because I never saw Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, so
oh, yeah?
I think you saw Breakin' 2. Is Breakin' it? Did the one that you see? Did the one that you saw? Hold on! Oh shoot! I'd lost my ability to speak English. The one that you saw.
Yeah.
Was it about a team of breakdancers who had some sort of internal conflict?
I don't recall, Your Honor. I think it was.
Okay.
It's been a long time. I mean, it was like 15 years ago. It was like right after I moved into Mr. House.
I might be thinking of the UCB movie Freak Dance that Matt Besser made.
I think the in Breakin' or Breakin' 2, there's some sort of community center that's in peril. And
well,
the breakdancers
have to
make money.
That is the plot line for Freak Dance. But I think that Freak Dance is based off of one of those two films. So
right.
Yeah, it's crazy, Ben, all the way down. I'm not sure which is which. Oh, hey, I got a new appliance that I will tell you about
did
now.
You get a grill?
Are you ready?
On for your teeth?
Paul's Appliance Corner. It is a RCA countertop ice maker.
Countertop ice maker. You don't have
yes.
a freezer?
We have a freezer. I do have a freezer, but I don't want to hook up water to the freezer.
How much ice do you guys go through? I have two
Tons.
Of those ice trays because I don't have I live in an apartment, so I don't have an ice maker in my
we
freezer.
We go through probably about 21 pounds of ice in a week.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
true. Yeah. So this is actually kind of economical. It'll pay for itself eventually.
Did you say 21 pounds?
Yeah, 21 pounds.
I don't have a new appliance, but I am drinking a Coca-Cola right now.
Yes.
I don't often drink soda pop anymore. I used to drink it all the time. But
you call it soda pop. How interesting.
Yeah. But when I
a very political answer for you, Ben.
That's a new thing for me. Growing up I called it pop. Actually, I called any sort of soda Coke, but I think that's a southern thing.
That is a southern thing. Did you grow up in the South that I didn't know about it?
No.
Is that possible?
Well,
hey, Ben.
Let's call Olympia South.
For the record, what is your middle name?
For the record? Why? Who's listening? Yeah. Who wants to know?
My wife accuses me of not being good friends with people. And one of the things is that I don't know where they went to school or what they studied or what their middle name is. But I know that you went to UW and studied theater.
Yeah.
All I need is your middle name, and then you and I are good friends. What is it?
It's
David.
What?
Is it David?
It is.
Hey!
Did you guess that?
You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me either. No, I think you told me at what. I mean, you didn't tell me now.
I probably
told you
at some
time.
Point.
And I remembered. Ben, this is amazing. All right. I'm a good person. Yay. I feel good about myself.
Yeah.
All
right.
Oh.
Yeah, what?
Are you hurt? Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Directed by, I think his name is Edgar Wright.
You are correct.
Edgar Wright has a new movie coming out.
Oh, yeah?
Baby Driver. I recommend taking a look at it.
Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Is it about a baby who drives cars?
No, it's about a guy named Baby who drives cars.
Ah.
And the trailer looked good. One of the other things I needed to tell you is, of course, there's a movie that you will be hearing about a lot because it looks so good. It's called Three Billboards Outside of something, 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 Missouri.
What?
And something, something, something. I don't know if that's the exact... Three Billboards Outside of blank Missouri, and I don't know what blank is.
And what would be the plot of this movie? Is it like Repo Man, but for people who put up billboard signs?
No, it is not. It is about... do you want me to tell you? Because I will.
Sure, why not?
Potential spoiler alert. It's not a spoiler of the thing, but the story is told in the trailer. So if you're going to watch the trailer, you know,
right,
it'll tell the story just as well as me. But I will tell you, Ben.
Tell me.
It goes like this. A woman's daughter is kidnapped or something.
NAFTA?
And what's that?
Wait, is what something?
Kidnapped, the woman's daughter is kidnapped or something.
Kidnapped or something. I heard something else. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
She's either kidnapped or murdered. I don't remember which. And the woman puts up billboards. Three billboards.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, my daughter.
Have you seen my daughter? She is missing. Burma shave.
The police aren't doing anything, basically. And about the problems that entail, or what happens with that. I am looking at my DVD collection, and in it, where the prisoner normally is, my friend Andy has borrowed the prisoner from me.
Oh, yeah?
And I have, in its place... some things that he loaned me, which are The Incredible Hulk, complete first season, and the second season of The Bionic Woman.
Is this the Incredible Hulk live action TV show?
Oh, and V, the original miniseries.
Ah, yes, I remember that was on.
I got.
Yeah, is it the live action Incredible Hulk TV show?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Cool.
Now, what these all have in common, and this is not this works with the whole keep it wrong thing because I'm I'm reading the back of it. It is produced by. Where is it? Who is the guy? Kenneth Johnson. Kenneth Johnson did all those things.
Okay.
And the thing that's cool about Kenneth Johnson is that he did the two episodes of. Do you remember the song Mono Carbon Driver?
I do.
That I played from Bootsack?
Yeah.
He directed both, and I didn't know this. Jamie Summers had a dog that could bite through wood. He directed that, or produced that show. And Steve Austin hit a whiskey barrel with a pipe. he wrote that thing. So he is, you know.
The name sounds familiar. I think that we may have talked about him on the Perfect Bound podcast at some point or another, because he does do some superhero TV shows.
Yes.
So we probably talked about him at one point.
The other thing, there was something else about him, and I can't remember. Oh, V, Mark Singer. If you, Ben Lawrence, were to go to the martial arts store, supply store, in the International District, just up the street from where you used to work at Vulcan.
Yeah.
And went to the Kung Fu place that's there at the top floor of it, you would see a poster of Mark Singer.
And why is there a poster of Mark Singer in the Kung Fu place?
Because Mark Singer took Kung Fu there.
Oh.
In fact, the Beastmaster thing where he's doing like a sort of, sword thing with his sword.
He's doing a
like
sword thing?
Like kind of doing a kata or whatever you would call it, a form with his sword, like doing little practice-y things.
Okay.
He probably was using techniques that they teach at that martial arts school.
Hey, what do you know?
But the sword was huge, so I don't know exactly, you know, how that worked out. But anyway, so I met him at one point in time. And it was pretty cool. And once you meet someone, seeing them on TV is weird.
Was he was he just hanging out at the Kung Fu place?
No, he was actually the master of ceremonies at a fundraiser thing.
Okay.
And one of the things that they did was... oh, Ben.
Paul.
That's right. We have fallen into the third topic I wanted to talk about. I have stopped watching Iron Fist on Netflix.
Oh.
Started watching it. And I had to stop.
You know, it's
I couldn't
funny.
Do it.
Yeah, I've heard a mix of things. Overall, I've heard that it's not that good. But I do have people on Facebook who have been watching it and have said it's okay.
Well, yeah, I think here's the thing. If I hadn't been I have a brain something. I don't know what's happening to me.
Slow down.
Mark
choose
this
your
down
words.
On your calendar. This is subject is showing signs of confusion and aphasia.
Anyway, if you hadn't read the comic?
No. In Netflix, there is a show called Into the Badlands.
Okay.
Which I had started watching before I watched this. Into the Badlands is all about martial artists in this post-apocalyptic world. And there's tons of just really good martial arts choreography for television, you know.
Yeah.
It's great. And like tons of fights and things like that. And here's a show that's all about this guy who's supposed to be an amazing martial artist. And the fights, from what I saw, granted I only saw like two or three episodes, I think. Maybe more, but I think I only saw two or three. The fights in Iron Fist just didn't make me go, yay, martial arts.
Yeah, well, you know, Netflix set the bar really high with Daredevil. And
Daredevil.
One of the things that I heard was that, that's one of the complaints about Iron Fist. The other is that, you know, they couldn't, you know, the in the source material, Iron Fist is a Caucasian fellow, right?
Yes.
So that was one of the complaints. It's like, why do we need to see a white guy fight terribly in this TV show surrounded by Asians? Why couldn't we have cast an Asian American actor? But also, right. But one of the bigger complaints was that it's boring.
Yes.
And
that is
a factor.
What I heard as well.
One of the factors about that is why Daredevil succeeds is that because Matt Murdock wears a mask, you can have stuntmen do a lot of that choreography. You can have actual fighters do a lot of Daredevil's choreography. With Iron Fist, that poor actor has to do everything.
Well, and here's the thing, and I was gonna talk about this because the source material, people have mentioned that Danny Rand in the source material is Caucasian. Here's the thing, though, the time when it was made, right, it's around the same time that Bruce Lee was told that no one would watch an Asian American hero in a TV show, right, with Kung Fu, and then he didn't get it. David Carradine got it.
Right. We actually did a whole panel jumper episode on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. I'm sorry that I missed it. Because, so you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? If you look at, and I don't know, I mean, Cole could probably back me up on this. I don't know if he would. Because what I mean by that is that I don't know if he felt the same way because I didn't read the comics. But they were all over the place, and they were kind of peripheral to my experience, right?
Yeah.
In the comics, in the original comics, Iron Fist wears a mask that covers the entire top half of his face and his hair, okay. Right? I had absolutely no idea that he was a white guy.
Right.
I assumed that he wasn't. And it seems to me that him being white wasn't so much part of the design of the character as it was a way to make him more palpable in a xenophobic time.
Yeah, there was...
Hey, it's a martial arts, but look, this guy's a white guy. Not to mention the fact that his origin story kind of mimics Doctor Strange's origin story.
Okay.
A little bit. White guy goes to another dimension that is also China, sort of, and learns martial arts.
Does he go to this other dimension via a 16-hour flight on a 747?
Well, in both cases, yes. They go to the place first, and then somebody. Yeah, I know it's weird and dumb, and
I don't know. There was a.
And I apologize to anyone who's a big fan of Iron Fist. I probably got tons of stuff wrong with that, and I acknowledge that I don't know a lot about the character, and maybe I'm also just kind of done because the whole this guy got lost in another country and then came back and he's the CEO of something happened in Batman, happened in Arrow, and you know it's just.
There was
stop doing it.
There was a comic called Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, that was out in the like late 70s or like mid to late 70s, early 80s. That was that had an Asian lead, and one of the authors actually admitted that he took very liberally from Bruce Lee's likeness for the lead of Shang-Chi, and I don't know though. I mean, it sold all right. It wasn't like a big blockbuster comic, but I have no idea how, like, if it was being published at the same time Iron Fist was, or if it was a predecessor of it, when Iron Fist came out.
This is the other thing that's a little bit, you know, squidgy, right? Luke Cage and Iron Fist were heroes for hire. They were mercenaries, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of guys, and they were together a lot. Like that's how I always saw them, as like a duo,
right?
And so, you know, you can't. I think that Netflix and Marvel kind of, they couldn't avoid the character. You know, they had to do something.
Yeah.
If you have Luke Cage, Iron Fist makes a lot of sense to have in it. My point and the thing that I think that other people have brought up, there was another guy who was a son of a stunt choreographer who was up for the part, and eventually he has a role in Iron Fist, from what I understand, but he was one of the like finalists for it. And they chose Finn Jones instead. And, you know, I like Finn Jones, all right. I'm not saying that he's a bad actor or anything. But I think if you're going to have that character, have somebody who does martial arts in the part also.
Yeah.
But my point, I guess, is that I don't think it... You know, people are like, well, historically, he's like, I don't think it loses anything if he's not white. You could still have... You know, because Asian Americans, right?
Yeah.
Are sons of people who own companies. You do the exact same plot. His parents are dead.
You know what? I think it's a bit of a misstep for Marvel because they stuck to the, like you said, very xenophobic for the time source material. I don't think Marvel would have lost any ground if they had cast an Asian American actor in that role. I think it would have served the story better. Where it sounds like it's failing is that it's just dull and the fight scenes are bad. And would a properly trained actor, regardless of who they are, would that make that show any better, or is it just an inherent fault in the show?
Well, something that a friend of mine at work brought up, and I think that this actually makes a lot of sense, is that it's not, you can't blame it all on the actor either, because there are some things in the show I was talking about, Into the Badlands, right? Because I was discussing this at work. He mentioned that some of those actors aren't actually trained stunt people or martial artists either, but they just do a better job of shooting around it,
right?
And things like that. So yeah, it's I don't know. I'm hoping that the Defenders won't be too bad off because of it.
I'm wondering though if Iron Fist gets picked up for a second season, if they're going to try to correct this, if they're going to if they can't change lead actors, obviously, but if they're going to try to make it better, is the plainest way I can put it.
Yeah,
like, are they listening? Listening to the critique?
I think they would. I really do. And who knows, it might be great the second time around, and people will be like, oh, I can't, you know, and like find new appreciation for the first one, whatever.
Yeah.
I probably will eventually end up watching it at some point in time, but I've got so many other things that I want to watch.
Yeah. I mean, and you know,
I was just sitting there going, I can't do this. The big thing that got me away from it was the scene where he's explaining to a female cast member what she's doing wrong in martial arts.
Was she Asian American?
She was Asian American. She was also set up as being a master teacher and things like that. And one of the things he says is, you're putting out too much effort. And he's sort of lazily going through stuff. And it's...
And you want to say to him, you need to put out more effort.
it just pinpointed a lot of the things that were problematic with the show.
I hear it's terribly written.
I was like, okay, I got to go back. Yep.
But you gotta, I mean, in Iron Fist's defense, the acting in season one of Daredevil is not really Oscar worthy or Emmy worthy. And even the scenes, I still kind of cringe in the scenes with Foggy. Even in season two of Daredevil.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be too harsh or anything, but I don't think the acting is great in all of them. Yeah, any of the season of the stuff. I love watching it, right?
Yeah.
But there were some things where the acting, and I'm not going to bring them up because I don't want to, like, you know, date myself or whatever. But there are some things where the, well, no, I mean, I can say this. A-Team, right?
Yeah.
Did the acting matter? No, it did not. You know, MacGyver, is MacGyver, like, is it the best? Airwolf, you know, all that kind of stuff. Not great acting, but passable acting was sort of a staple of the 80s kind of TV show thing. And I think a lot more could be forgiven on either side if the other thing overcompensated.
Yeah.
If the other thing compensated.
And that's that. I mean,
if the fight scenes were better than it being boring, except when they were fighting, would maybe be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And well, and that's where Daredevil succeeded, because the those fight scenes are great. But yeah, all of those Marvel TV shows that Netflix is doing, a lot of those main characters are just one note. Now, granted, I haven't seen Luke Cage. But like,
oh, you should see Luke Cage.
I know, it's on those. But like you said, there's so many things to watch. But like Jessica Jones is pretty one note. You know, I think the most interesting thing in
and again,
that
not
show.
not an issue with the actor, issue with what they're given to do.
Yes.
Basically.
And you know, sulk and drink and be temperamental when you have to fight. But the most interesting thing for me about Jessica Jones was watching David Tennant as the Purple Man. But I think that was just had to do with my fandom of Doctor Who. You know, it's just fun to see David Tennant again.
Oh yeah, he's doing something different too. That was and I will say this: when I was watching. There is a thing in Iron Fist that I like, and the reason I kept going, and I want to kind of see it again, is that there's a character in it that isn't Iron Fist, isn't any of the other people. He's the bad guy, obviously, and I was kind of interested in what he's got going on and what his plan is. He's doing a good job, in my opinion, the guy. So I want to see more of it for that character, but. Again, like I said, the Into the Badlands just—I was like, I can't not be watching this. I'm watching this thing instead. So.
I'm not.
Oh, by the way, have you seen Patriot yet?
I have not. No, I've very little time to watch TV. I'd love to. I'd love to watch more television. Cole loaned me the Star Wars Rebels DVDs that I need to watch. Have you seen Rebels?
How is it?
Oh, I haven't seen. No, I haven't started it yet. I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay.
We had this whole discussion. He loaned me the Clone Wars, the Tartakovsky version of Star Wars Clone Wars, the first one, and I couldn't finish it, just because.
Wait.
I kind of ran out of interest.
Wait, are you you're talking about it's sort of cell animation rather than 3D animation?
Yeah, it's like Samurai Jack, the creative Samurai Jack.
Yeah. Let me ask you, did you see, because that's my favorite Clone Wars thing. Did you see the one with Mace Windu?
I don't think so.
Okay, you'd know if you had. Do you still have them?
No, I gave them back to Cole.
Oh, Ben, because you missed the one thing that was like, super awesome.
Yeah, no.
The Mace Windu one is my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll admit that I probably was not in the right mind space to just sit down and watch 2 hours of nothing but space battles.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But there you have it. I couldn't.
I like it though.
But
I recommend it.
I've come to terms.
Don't listen to Ben, everybody.
I've come to terms a long time ago with the fact that if I don't want to finish something, either a TV show or a movie or a book, I don't have to.
Yeah.
For the longest time.
Jennifer and I were on a date once, and we were watching Match Point by Woody Allen. We walked out. We were like, nope. Nope. No good.
One thing I won't do.
This is back before he was. This is when he was only sort of problematic.
Right, right.
He became more problematic.
One thing
at the time, we just didn't like the film.
One thing I won't do is I won't walk out of a movie if I've paid to see a movie. I'll suffer.
Really?
Yeah, I'll suffer through it because I'm like, I paid to see it. I'm gonna effing see it. And I
just, you know, I was that way also, and then I started dating Jennifer, and it didn't
happen. And I want to say that I won't leave a play at intermission, but I'm trying to remember if I have ever done that before. I think, here's the thing, if I know somebody in the play, if it's a terrible, terrible show, I will stick through it. If I don't know anybody in the cast, and nobody I know is going to see that I've scattered at intermission, then I probably will leave.
Aha, well.
It's all about saving face.
The one thing I would say, Ben, is, you know what time it is?
Betty!
Hey, Betty! Oh, I'm coming. All right, let's be just a second. Think of a question, Ben. Hey, Betty. Okay, so I think Ben has a question. Ben, what is your question for Betty?
Okay, I have a question. Hello, Betty.
Okay. Hello, Betty, says Ben.
Sometimes you put her on.
Yeah, I haven't put her on.
Has your father or your mother ever taken you to see a play?
Oh, Betty, have your mom... oh, God, Ben, it's happening again.
To say we.
Have
don't say see, say we.
You to see a play?
I'm pretty sure. Went to see that one time where all those kids played Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yeah, I took Betty to see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville.
Excellent.
And Willy Wonka was a girl!
Willy Wonka was a girl.
See ya.
Oh, that's a new take.
Okay, see you, Betty. That's it. She's gone.
All right. Well, I was gonna ask a second question. I was gonna ask if she wanted to leave at intermission, but I figured that maybe she would not have, because it's Willy Wonka after all.
She didn't. Although Betty did leave during movies a lot. She'd be like, "I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore."
When you're just like at home watching a movie?
No. Like I actual movie theater movies.
Oh, really?
It was it was a real
How
issue.
How fun.
We figured out after a while that she didn't like the credits, the ending credits of movies, because it meant there was no more movie.
Ah.
And so if she thought the credits were going to be coming soon, she would leave. I think she didn't like those fake worlds ending, basically.
Yes, those fake worlds can be fun sometimes.
Speaking of which, Ben, it's time to... go back to the real world.
Oh, gosh.
Instead of this place where you and I talk. Who knows what's happened? Maybe nothing. Maybe something.
If anything happens, listeners, we'll talk about it next time on our show here.
On the Goody Lawrence podcast. Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called. Yeah. I think after over a year, it's just the name has cemented.
Oh, hey. So, by the way... that thing that we're maybe going to do?
Yeah.
Have you gotten any...
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Script?
No.
Okay.
I haven't done that yet.
All right.
It's probably going to be one of those things where it's a last minute kind of thing.
Because I have a... Yeah, all right. Well, I'll text you about it.
If you have any ideas, bring them.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right.
Talk to you soon, Ben.
Keep it wrong,
Keep
Paul.
It wrong. Yep.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this thing to stop. Hold on.